Welcome to Garage à Toi. Thanks for listening.
Hello.
I'm having a day.
Yeah? Let's hear it.
I'm happy to hear your voice. Your voice brings me joy.
Same.
First of all, I want to know what's going on with your iPad.
I don't know. I plugged it in just to charge her up. And I think an update was happening. And now it's just, you know, the white screen with the Apple One Bite just staring at me for like 20 minutes.
Oh, no. Well, it could be an update. I feel like those take way longer than anyone would ever think.
Sure.
I don't know. Am I being too optimistic? You can tell me to get real.
No, no. It's never happened before, so I'm not, like, totally worried. But, I don't know.
That's such a beautiful attitude to have.
We'll see. TBD, I guess.
I'm the opposite. I'm like, it's never happened before. It's probably a disaster.
Oh, sure. Sure. Oh, man.
Well, the closer this day is to being over. No, I shouldn't say that. It's not even a bad day. I just feel like I haven't had a moment of rest. I'm trying to do less passive snacking while I've been working from home.
Ooh.
So I also think maybe I'm just a little cranky.
Okay. A little hangry.
That's okay. I'll be nice and pepped up. I'll be like Rush Limbaugh. Who gets mad? Alex Jones. Tommy Lauren.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Are they why is it only the conservatives who yell at the TV? I'm sure they're probably liberals. I feel like Rachel Maddow is like pleasantly pumped up. She's not like angry yeller.
Right, right. No, I get it. I agree. Yeah. Why are conservatives so angry? Yeah.
Why you mad, bro? Why are you mad?
Yeah, why? What's going on with you?
Why you gotta be so mad?
You gotta share some of that power with other people? Cool.
Well, that might be just the perfect segue to the fact that our motherfucking Congress is trying to overthrow a free election. Do we need to like call the UN in to observe our elections and make sure that they're fair?
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine and she's like, it's been disproven in courts. Like the Supreme Court doesn't even want to deal with it. Like Bill Barr, you know, stepped out of office because of it, like retired or whatever, like because it's just like nobody wants to deal with it, and people, news outlets are kind of like just rolling their like anchors are just rolling their eyes because it's like really this more again still, come on guys, like
it is
come on.
I don't even have words, Marie. I don't even have words. So I don't know if you remember creepy little marionette puppet man, former House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Yes,
does everybody
I do.
Remember Paul Ryan?
Yeah.
A lifetime ago. So he did the same thing that you're saying Bill Barr did, but he did it at the beginning of the Trump administration, which is he was like, nah, hell nah. And like, I don't know what he does now. I'm sure he's, you know, a political consultant or something stupid.
Right.
I should have probably Googled it to prepare for this podcast, but he put a statement out. I think it was yesterday. Do you mind if I just read it?
No, do please.
I also want to just say, I hate moments like this where I'm like, don't make me agree with you, Paul Ryan. I hate you, Paul Ryan. So he put a statement out and said, quote, efforts to reject the votes of the Electoral College and sow doubt about Joe Biden's victory strike at the foundation of our republic. It is difficult to conceive of a more anti-democratic and anti-conservative act than a federal intervention to overturn the results of state-certified elections and disenfranchise millions of Americans. The fact that this effort will fail does not mean it will not do significant damage to American democracy. Oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps. Don't goosebump me, Paul Ryan! Upside down! Dick Cheney coming out and saying that something is wrong. You have fucked up.
Yeah, seriously. Come on, guys.
But today's election day in the great state of Georgia.
It is.
Hadi Hadi Bumbalati John Ossoff and the Reverend Dr. Raphael Warnock were praying that they're elected. But I want to ask you realistically, what are your predictions for the Georgia Senate election?
I mean, we've learned, you know, to take all the information coming in with a grain of salt. So I tried to Google it earlier and like, no, they're like, results will be in by 4 p.m. Pacific time. So I haven't checked it yet, but I'm hoping that the Democrats take this one. The Republicans in this race, guys, I don't know why I keep saying guys. Guys,
come guys. On, guys. Guys, listen.
They're pieces of shit, jerk face losers that just need to go away.
I also feel like the COVID exposure has been the real X factor in a lot of political races through, you know, the fall and all the way through now, which is David Perdue. And I have to remind myself who is lined up against whom. But so it's John Ossoff is running against David Perdue. And there's all this stuff coming out about the fact that he had, you know, sold stocks right when they were advised of COVID
yes.
coming to the U.S. at the beginning of the year. They were put in this crazy position of almost having to vote against the $2,000 stimulus check, which Mitch McConnell put a bullet in that. And then the motherfucker had to quarantine because he got exposed to COVID.
Yes, and couldn't be out on the road.
It's like the mark of the beast if you're in politics. You know, if you're in politics and you've been exposed to COVID, you've got the 666 on your forehead.
Boo. Boo on you.
Boo. All right. So I've gotten my political anger out. I haven't. It's never gonna be over. But thank you for indulging me in that, Marie.
I hope we get this one.
Cleansing breath, put it out in the universe.
Yes.
I look forward to it. What else is going on? How's your week going?
Pretty good. It's Tuesday. When I can when I know what day it is, that's a good that's a good sign when you're like, it's Tuesday. And then someone asks you what day it is and you're like, it's Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday.
I'm keeping track. We're good. Back to distance learning just for this week as a precaution. If people may have gathered during the holidays. So.
And then they just go right back to in person next week?
They're supposed to.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll see.
That's gnarly.
It is, right?
I feel like with this more virulent strain, more contagious strain of COVID starting to get passed around, I feel like I'm back to wondering if I need to wipe down my groceries with bleach wipes. Like, I feel like we're taking these steps backward. That it's been really interesting this year. So many things have happened that I just couldn't have possibly conceived of. You know, I think everybody kind of remembers being home that first weekend in March and then having the governor's stay-at-home order. And you're sort of like, wait, what? But then every week of every month, there's been something else, you know, that's just like, wait, what? And so for you to face sending your kids back to school at this moment where all of a sudden, wait, what? We've got this more infectious strain, you know, we're so close to being vaccinated, you know, we're right on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
I haven't sorted myself out, and I don't know if that's just not how this is gonna go, but it's been weird.
So strange.
Can I share some good news with you?
Please.
I actually feel like you caused this. So I admitted to you, you sent me a very fun, very kind of silly, joyful music video this week, yes, or over the weekend, I guess. And it was Harry Styles and Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Fleabag, everyone. Yes.
Fleabag. There is the musician Phoebe Bridger, and now the two of them have become one person, and I'm just perpetually confused about the name. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, brilliant Brit, fucking Fleabag, man. You are the one who recommended it to me. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I think so.
And I watched season two, and then I watched season one, and I'm so glad I did, because I think season two was just this, like, leap forward in the sophistication of the show.
Yes,
I agree. And truly heartbreaking. I was actually just thinking about the moment when she and the priest are at the bus stop, right at the end of the season, and I won't give any spoilers, but I just the other day, like passively, was just thinking about that scene and just how incredibly beautifully it was written and how just emotionally impactful it was. So shout out to Phoebs. But do you want to talk about the music video?
She's badass. Yeah, it's Harry Styles. I don't even know the name of the song. We'll put it in the show notes. His latest music endeavor, and she is like the star or the co-star of the video, and they're in this like glitzy club, and it's sort of like supper club reminiscent with like everyone super dressed up, and they're drinking martinis or champagne, or and it's just like super fun. Everyone's dancing. Harry Styles is dancing. And then her face the whole time, Phoebe's face is just like, I can't believe I'm in a fucking Harry Styles music video. She's just like, you know, playing it up. It's so cute. And then they have this great dance number at the end. And you're just like, oh, my God. You got to see it.
It's just like so delightfully pure and wonderful. And yeah, yes. It's kind of like retro, almost sort of like it reminded me a little bit of the club scenes in The Rocketeer.
Very wholesome and cute.
The song is Treat People with Kindness.
Oh, thank you. I knew it was something like totally upbeat and just uplifting.
Well, I do admit to you, I don't know his music at all. I know who One Direction is. I know who he is, but I don't think I'd ever heard him sing a note of music, and I just like I am a fan of him in general, but I just hadn't ever gotten exposed to his music. But then a day later I find out that he is now dating the newly single and now very quickly coupled up Olivia Wilde.
Like couple alert, hot couple alert right there. Hot
couple alert. He was officiating his agent's wedding and she was his date.
Sexy.
Oh, I'm into it. And I'll admit to you why I'm into this. When Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis started dating, he was not yet divorced. And I kind of feel like he left his plain Jane normal lady wife, who was like his same age, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Fucking left her.
Before the fame.
Yes. For hot young thing, Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
So I never really was rooting for them because I was like, this is like Leanne Rimes and Eddie Cibrian. Y'all are sleeping on blood money. I don't like it. Homewreckers.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Whereas I feel like a young Harry Styles, he's 26, she's 36. I'm fucking into it.
That, by the way. Yeah. Get it. Both of them get it.
I wish them the very best.
Me too.
Yeah. Have you ever dated someone who was quite a bit younger than you?
No. No.
I made the classic girl with father issues mistake in my early 20s of dating men that were quite a bit older than me.
Older, yes.
I've done
older.
And by yeah. Although I know that you had a significant relationship where the gentleman was older, but were you not also a little bit older? Am I doing the math wrong?
I was in my young 20s. He was in his early 30s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like 10?
Not terribly. 10, maybe 12. Maybe we're 12 years apart.
That's, pretty. No, I feel like so the men that I dated in my early 20s were also in their 30s. And I don't know if this is true for you, because I know that you were in a committed, loving relationship. And I was mostly dating fuckboys. what I learned the hard way is that when you are 22 and they are 35, They don't like you because you are more mature and witty and wise beyond your years. They like you because they're afraid of women who are their own age and just want to handle someone who, like, hasn't left her parents' house yet.
Yeah.
That is what I learned the hard way, is that
yeah,
men who are quite a bit older and are dating women who are quite a bit younger generally are afraid of women.
Good observation.
Thank you. Do I sound bitter? Am I bitter? No, I'm not bitter.
No. You just think about all these, like, you know, the older men, like actors and famous guys that are dating these way, way, way younger women. And you're just like, woof, what's going on?
Well, we just had a little local celebrity sighting. So Matt, his last name is G-A-E-T-Z. I pronounce it Gates. I don't know if that's right.
Okay.
He's a congressman in Florida and is like a total Trumper nut job. I could describe the things that he has done lately, the most prominent of which was probably when he wore a gas mask on the floor of Congress at the beginning of the COVID epidemic. Yeah, he's just a total asshat. He is just he's just pathetic. Just got engaged to a woman who he is 12 years older than. So she's, I think, 26. So that would make him 38, if I'm doing that right.
Sure.
She lives in Santa Barbara. She,
do you know her?
For Appeal Sciences. Are you familiar with that company? They're in Goleta.
I don't know if that I am, but I hear you.
She is the younger sister of a guy named Palmer Luckey. You might recognize that name. He sold the virtual reality headset Oculus Rift to Facebook.
Oh,
and became like a double billionaire through the process.
Holy.
But then they had to like fire him because he kind of went off the deep end. So somehow a congressman in Florida is dating a 20-something woman who lives in Santa Barbara, California.
Odd.
Is that like a match.com setup? Is that republicansonly.com? Farmers only?
Conservatives only. There's
not. I want to know how they met. I think it's deeply bizarre that a congressman in Florida is dating and has become engaged to a young woman who lives literally on the opposite coast.
His brother's a billionaire.
His brother's a billionaire.
Sounds planned.
Yeah, it's creepy. And of course, you will not be surprised to learn that he proposed at Mar-a-Lago.
Ew.
I know. The whole thing is just deeply creepy.
Oh, no.
I know. I've got all the gossip for you today.
Thank
this is
you.
What happens when I'm in a spicy mood when we do the podcast.
Get it all out.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about someone who I know of because of you. I have started following because of you, but hey. I also, yeah, for sure. And I feel like has been just a really incredible teacher during this time of uncertainty and, you know, all those kind of bizarre things that come along with it. So I would love for you to talk to us a little bit about Esther Perel.
Cool. All the info courtesy of Wikipedia and, her own webpage, estherperel.com. So if you don't know or are familiar with Esther, she is a world-renowned psychotherapist. She was born in Belgium, and both her parents were Holocaust survivors.
Oh, wow.
Like, holy shit. So she grew up in Antwerp in like a Holocaust survivor community of people. And started noticing that there were two distinct groups. And I think this is so freaking interesting. Those who didn't die and those who came back to life. And I like got chills when I read that. So most of her studies and work have been about the nature of cultural and religious identity and how that plays into relationships. She's done years and years of research all around the world. She's currently based in New York and still has and has done TED Talks and did web series throughout the pandemic for free. which were amazing. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of two books, Mating in Captivity, Unlocking Erotic Intelligence, which she says was spurred by the Clinton-Lewinsky affair, which is super interesting.
For some reason, that mortifies me, that like someone who grew up in another country and is like the daughter of Holocaust survivors, her first book is because of some idiot thing that America did.
Exactly. So it's based off an article that she wrote for the New York Times, I believe. Just a foreign therapist look at American culture about sex and relationships, and turned it into a book. And I was like, hell yeah. And then her other book is The State of Affairs, Rethinking Infidelity. She also hosts two podcasts, Where Should We Begin and How's Work, both about relationships, either partnership relationships or work relationships, which I think is super interesting. She speaks 9 languages. Fucking brilliant.
There aren't even 9 languages in the world. That's a lie.
I don't know. Her bio says 9 languages, so does Wikipedia. So double.
She speaks 9 languages like Pete Buttigieg speaks 9 languages. I'm just kidding. She's amazing. And I'm only heckling you as an active listener participant.
Thank you. I deserve to be challenged. And another fun little tidbit. In 2016, she was named on Oprah's Super Soul 100 list of visionaries and influential leaders.
Ah, so love that.
She's just a badass.
She's a total badass. And I feel like she is someone, I listened to an interview that she did on a podcast that I listened to. So she was a guest on that podcast.
Cool.
And she was able to so quickly and effectively assert her expertise. She has this energy about her that is just so wholehearted.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a really amazing example of someone who has intellectual curiosity, mm-hmm. but also just meets the world with like such complete confidence and transparency. She's so cool.
Yeah. Very in tune with like, you know, there's people that just get it and people that don't fucking get it. And she like gets everything. She's amazing. Yeah. I've read her first book, which is amazing. Just relationship, because we're all in relationships, whether they're romantic or friendships or, you know, work relationships. It's just a good book to see yourself through other people's eyes and experiences. It's confidential clients that she talks to, sort of like her podcast, Where Should We Begin? And the stories in her first book are real people going through real problems. And you just kind of see, oh my gosh, I never thought about that way. That's so interesting to hear, like, why, you know, someone would be sort of defensive or whatever it may be. So she just has, like, very, yeah, easy to read and understand and be like, oh, just kind of, like, get the other point of view. It's like, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? I personally struggle. I have during COVID, one with just having the opportunity to sit and listen to stuff. Usually I would do that when I was commuting in my car.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I have also found, and I think we talked about this a couple months ago, as I have gotten older, I have become increasingly unwilling to feel emotional discomfort.
Okay. Okay.
So I listened to a few episodes of her podcast. And while it is transformative, I really believe that she is changing people's lives. I can't fucking bring myself to like hit play on it. Even that How's
They're
Work
pretty intense. Podcast.
Yeah. So like how do you decide to like dip in on that? How do you decide to engage on the work that she's doing?
Good question. I mean, I think just having that empathy and like knowing if someone's like, you feel like they're treating you badly or like you just don't know what's behind it most of the time. And you just kind of think, okay, well, you know, I'm this way when I'm like pissed off or, you know, I don't know, don't feel noticed or appreciated or anything, really. It's like being able to just turn the tables and see the other person's point of view. Just real life stories. People are vulnerable, like being vulnerable, and I don't know, just kind of laying it out there.
Yeah. So you don't feel like it's too much?
The podcast, I've only listened to a few episodes, I think probably for the same reason. The book, I really enjoyed. The book was
That's good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
I could see myself like just skimming if I get too uncomfortable.
Sure. Yeah. And each case, like she, you know, she kind of explores chapter by chapter, like case by case. So if you come across a chapter that doesn't, like, you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to dig into that yet, you can just kind of skip through. Like, you don't have to read, I think, continuously, I wouldn't say, just to get the feel for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can skip around, and yeah, if something feels too uncomfortable for the moment, you can just be like, oh, exactly. Back to that one. I'll come back around sometime.
I'll come back to this later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you reminded me that we were supposed to go see her. She was doing UCSB Arts and Lectures, and I had to go out of town for a work conference, but you took Harry.
Yes. I was pumped, first of all, to be able to go with you, or thank you for inviting me. And then I was like, oh, man, Anne can't go. I was like, oh. What other girlfriend should I take with me? And then I was like, well, this will be good for Harry. Like, it'd be good for us to, like, she's a freaking couples therapist. She's brilliant. It's like, okay, kind of sit and see what she has to say. And I was surprised that he said yes so quickly. And because, you know, I don't know, just sometimes we're not on the same page about things. But
sure.
And we went and it was awesome, and he really enjoyed it, and he summed her up really well, and I'm probably dating myself when I say that, but she's like the next generation's Dr. Ruth, if you will. Like,
oh my God, I love it. Dr. Yes. Ruth, iconic. We call her a sex therapist.
Yeah, right?
A psychologist.
Yeah.
Who dealt with issues of sex. Also foreign.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like she... No nonsense. Was she... I'm Googling her. Dr. Ruth, where are you from? Let's find out. Well, yeah. What I love about that is that you guys have the kind of relationship where you would both willingly go listen to a couples therapist where she was going to talk about taboos, and she was going to talk about, you know, stuff that was bound to make you at some point uncomfortable. And you guys are both, just, right. I think, so brave. Okay, I Googled her. And first of all, you need to know a couple things. Okay. She's also a Holocaust survivor.
Wow.
This says that she was a sniper. I'm going to have to look more into that. We'll get back to you.
Holy.
She is from Germany.
Okay.
Marie, how tall would you say Dr. Ruth?
She was a smaller lady. I want to say like 4'2" or something.
How do you know that she
was she small? Really that?
No, she's not 4'2". Also, I don't think that's the thing, but. How do you know that she's so small?
4'7" I just remember her being a smaller petite lady.
She's 4'7".
Okay, 4'7". 4'2" was probably too small.
I am more than right. A foot taller than that woman. Also, fun fact, she's still alive.
Is she really?
She's 92 years old.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Ruth.
Get it.
That was a good call out by Harry. I also, you're gonna hate, yeah. I predict you're gonna hate hearing me say this, and I'm very sorry, but my sister and I just started watching Psych
on
Amazon Prime. That motherfucker looks so much like Harry. I can hardly get through an episode without yelling at the TV. Oh my God, it's Harry!
That's not the first time someone has said that to me. And I thought it was hilarious. And the other person I've heard that he looks like is Charlie Day. Do you know who that is from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? I kind of like both of those. I don't mind.
Just like, I think it's a little more of a compliment. He's like kind of a ladies' man on the show, and
sure.
I think Charlie. I love Charlie, and I would say that I could even find him handsome, but I would say he's not as conventionally as handsome as Harry or the guy from Psych.
Okay,
but like even his mannerisms are kind of afraid that you're gonna watch the show and be like, oh my god, Harry stole his personality from Psych. He will hate if you mention this. He will hate it because I cannot imagine that people have not said this to him 1,000 times in his life. The guy looks so much like him.
Oh my god, I gotta like start watching.
You gotta go for it. I also think it's a little funny because I was a huge West Wing fan, and Dulé Hill is the co-star on Psych. And he played a guy named Charlie. Charlie, I think Young is his name, on West Wing. And West Wing was this like very highbrow, very dignified, hour-long drama. And Psych
is not
just a total cornball comedy, like easy watching, you know, kind of zany hijinks. and it was after the West Wing. So I'm like, Dulé, I guess, you know, a man's gotta eat, but also like West Wing is Psych. Interesting. He couldn't have gone the other way around. I guess that's what I'm saying. If he'd been on Psych, I don't think he would have gotten hired for West Wing.
Right.
I'm blowing people up today. Is there anyone else you want me to roast? Boom. Roasted.
Toasted.
Burnt to a crisp. The reason Astera came up is because she, in her emails, sends out questions to ask. And she sent a list of questions, and I shared it with you, and we agreed that we would talk through it, which I think is really brave. I'm actually kind of nervous to share some of this stuff. So
I know.
Are you feeling brave?
Yeah.
Whew! Do you want to kick it off? Do you want to just go every other one? I'll ask and then you ask.
Yes, sure.
You start.
Okay. So I'm going to, think back on the last year. So she asked us to turn the lens on ourselves and just like kind of ask ourselves these questions and answer them honestly. So think back on the last year, write down 3 things you have lost. And I thought that was pretty profound way to start it off. Pretty heavy, especially in 2020.
I also feel it was hard because I'm naturally a little bit of a smart ass, but it also kind of helped me reframe. So I wrote 3 things. I wrote, I've lost weight. I think just naturally not eating out at restaurants means I'm not trying to like finish a plate of food. I am eating like it's my job. I'm just not eating as much as I was. But so I've lost some weight. I lost my commute. I used to spend a lot of time alone in the car. And those 2 things are healthy or not healthy depending on how much you're doing it. Those 2 things combined I think are really fun. I was doing a lot of like podcast audiobook stuff, but I was also super lonely. I was alone a lot. And then I lost being able to see the people that I care about. What did you say?
I lost my job.
We haven't really talked about that. No, we haven't.
Okay, so I worked for the Ventura Avenue Adult Center, Senior Center in Ventura, and basically, you know, we had found out that seniors were one of the most vulnerable populations for COVID. So of course, you know, city run facility shut down right away. Everyone went on furlough. But then when things started to unfold and we found out the kids weren't going back into school, I decided not to go back. So it was kind of my choice. And I don't want to say choice to not go back, but it was either, you know, work part-time and hire someone to watch my kids or stay home and do this, the online learning with them, you know? So I didn't like, I wasn't, it's, I don't know why I think of it differently.
I think that you were faced with the challenge that so many women have been faced with. I think they said something like 80% of the people who left the workforce this year were women, and it was the decision that you were faced with.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's fraught about that, Marie, is that if you were still there, we would be just so actively worrying about your health.
Right.
And your exposure risk. So I'm curious if that popped back up in the next question. So you lost your job.
Yes. And
I'm not rushing you. I hear you rushing. Please don't rush. Oh, no, sorry. I just...
my sense of carefreeness, I think a lot of people lost that. Right? You're just always on alert.
Yeah.
And same as your last one, time with family and other family and friends, like outside of my household. Yeah. So we didn't get a lot of that.
What have you gained?
I've gained more closeness with my immediate family.
That too.
Yeah. Some Spanish language knowledge because the girls are going to a dual immersion school right now. The majority of Lola's work especially is in Spanish, so I've had to like learn with her. So I consider myself first grade level Spanish speaker learner.
Qué bueno, Marie, vamos a hablar en español.
Oh, gracias.
That's really cool, actually. I wish I could say that I'm learning math, but I'm not learning high school sophomore math.
Math is a different story. And then motivation to be creative, doing this podcast, like that was, I don't know, that just was a thing where I'm like, I got to do something with this time that has been given to me. So,
I love that.
Why not do something awesome?
But I'm happy to hear that. And that pops up later in the questionnaire for me in sort of a different way. What did you imagine when you were in your darkest place?
I think this was for a lot of families, like all of us getting really, really sick. This is super coronavirus specific. Yeah. And then worrying constantly about Maya because she's, you know, thousands of miles away from us and she's an asthmatic. So I was super worried for her health. Like if she would have gotten sick, it would have been devastating from what, you know, we've been told about people with underlying conditions. So that was probably, I was like, you know, we're all getting it. Everyone's getting sick. Oh,
totally.
God, like freak out mode, you know.
I almost imagine there being like a generic set of answers to this questionnaire. And then everybody's like, oh my God, those are my answers. And I almost wonder if that's kind of the psychology behind it, is for us to be like, yeah, you know, like I wrote that I was afraid. In my darkest place, I was afraid that I would lose everything and take people down with me in the process. And it's like, I'm not alone in feeling that. I couldn't even imagine that I was alone in feeling that. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It made me feel better. Marie, what did you survive?
The other side of the coin, from the closeness with my immediate family, all of us being in the house together nonstop.
And a remodel. You remodeled your kitchen.
In the middle of a remodel. That was kind of painful, but we're so blessed that, like, I feel like a total dick even complaining about that at all. But yeah, we survived. Being together.
That is no small thing, I feel like. I said I was gonna trade off with you, but I feel so much more comfortable asking you questions. What are three challenges that you have mastered? What are three challenges that you've mastered?
I think I've been pretty good at balancing the kids' schedules. Like I'm the, you know, getting them up for breakfast, making sure they get all their materials ready, getting on the Zoom call a minute early, you know, just, you know, okay, now what? Okay, which assignments do we have to do? So I've gotten the schedule, I think, down pretty well for them. And then I've been pretty good about just getting out and exercising, whether it's just a walk around the park or doing some like stretching or whatever it is. I've been pretty good about just moving around.
That's more, great. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
That's, because that's making time for yourself too.
Exactly. And I think we've all mastered this one. Connecting with others virtually. Or tried to.
I know. I need to figure out a way to FaceTime with people where my face is not part of the equation. Sometimes I'll just turn it around and show whoever I'm talking to, like, what I am looking at. Because I'm like, I am looking at my face all day long. I love that. Yeah. Connecting.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. In other ways.
Okay, what have been the consequences, good and bad?
I think a lot of parents fear that their kids will be behind academically. Yeah. I've heard that a lot of the time, and just their loss of the kids' loss of socialization and connection from being out of school. I know that's there's such a fine line, but like we want them back in school being taught by professional teachers. Like parents are not a lot of parents say I'm not a teacher, so but then you know that everyone's health, so it's like such a it's frustrating for everyone, so very fraught. That was one of the kind of consequences that we had to balance. And then a good one that I think Esther probably helped propel is Harry and I have been like actively trying to communicate better and support each other physically and mentally. So that is
amazing.
A big one. Yeah.
You guys are so great. I love you both individually and I really love you together and I love your family. So I'm happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Anne.
What was the kindest thing someone else did for you?
I had to think about this because everyone was like, I feel like at the beginning, everyone was reaching out and checking on everyone and like you're checking on your neighbors all the time. So I feel like we got really close with our neighbors, just like, you guys need anything? Or like, you know, our kids will play in the front yard together and we'll do like, you know, distance wine in the front lawn. And like, you know, just kind of being more supportive of like the people that are immediately around you, like, you know, your family could be somewhere else, but like the neighbors, I feel like our neighbors really like came out and checked on each other and supported each other and just like really connected during this time. It was kind of crazy. We all kind of waved before and now we're all like, you know, texting each other.
Oh, I love it.
If we see something funny or something. Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
I'm on a texting basis with our neighbors who live on the backside of us, and they are total animal lovers. So they have two rescue horses, and they have a pig. And we have always called the pig Petunia. The pig's name is Clifford.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It was, like, this funny moment of, you know, like, she was like, we should be friends on Facebook. And I'm like, well, I don't really do that, but I do still have an account, you know, because I use it for work. And so like every 3 weeks when I log on to do something for work, she'll pop up in my news feed. I don't know if just because she's new or what the algorithm is, but I learned that Clifford sleeps in a little teepee in their guest bedroom. So the pig sleeps indoors.
I love Clifford.
Yeah. That's really funny. Amazing. Okay, I'm skipping ahead. Think about the year ahead. What is one thing that you need to release?
I know fear and anxiety, and I know that's probably a lot of people too. Just, you know, the same kind of like losing my carefreeness, like losing, trying to like gain that back.
I love that. I just got body goosebumps.
And kind of letting, you know, I mean, we still need to be vigilant. Vigilant. Thank you.
And diligent. Yeah.
Diligent. Yes. Protecting ourselves and each other. Right. So, but just being able to kind of, okay, hopefully things start to tick back down and we can get our vaccines.
Get our vaccines! I will share with you, when you said that you felt like you lost your sense of carefreeness, I was really sad to hear that because I think of that as who you are. And so I don't know if that was something that you've struggled with too, is sort of like, who am I without my carefreeness? But I love hearing you say that you're going to recover it by releasing fear and anxiety. That's just like, I don't know, that's very mature. I can see why that older man wanted to date you. You're very mature. what is one thing that you would like to develop?
I thought about more involvement in my local community, like just getting out there more. I know the senior center is going to need help eventually. Yeah. And when they can get back open and running, like just maybe volunteer there every so often and check in on everybody.
I love that.
So just more.
I'm going to swap the last two questions because I didn't like the order that she put them in. So I'm going to start with, what are you afraid of?
Okay.
What are you afraid of?
That we as a country haven't learned anything from the pandemic. And the top of the mind for me is racial injustice, our healthcare system that is collapsing, a living wage for everyone, and global warming. Top off.
Wow, you're going for cherry.
Like, we need to learn these lessons the hard way, I guess.
All right. We're going to end this on a high note. All right. This is, I've lost track of how many episodes we're on. Is this episode 11?
I think this is 11.
11-11.
I know.
Special episode. We're going to bring it all home thanks to Esther Perel and Juan Marie. I'm not saying your last name, although I'm sure we've said it plenty of times on this goddamn podcast. Privacy, please. Marie, what are you excited about?
I'm excited for vaccines. And this is selfish one, traveling again. Eventually. Yeah, the dream.
That's it. Episode 11-11, traveling, the dream, carefree travel. Just make sure you wear like a money belt or something.
Carefree travel. Exactly.
Carefree, but not pickpocketed. Don't be a target. Treat everybody with kindness.
Always.
Cheers to that. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
This has been Garage à Trois. Thanks for listening.